This is a homemade broadcast radio production.
What's up, Mama Holics? Thank you very much for tuning into Mama's Favorite Podcast right here on HMB Radio Network with the favorite host of Mama's Favorite Podcast. Hey, that's me. I'm James Bailey. Hi. And I'm in love with Mary Jane. I've broken my my tolerance break, folks. I know you guys are so relieved. So am I. Everybody was worried about me. Don't worry. I made it full. I made it through. Shit. I made it through a full 2 weeks without smoking. I came out on the other side. I did a feature set, not smoking, which was the first time I had done that ever, I think. It was one of the first times I had been on stage, not high, in probably 4 years. And it went surprisingly well. Thank you. I was so happy. But now I'm smoking weed again. And I was like, who better to have in here than my friend who likes to smoke weed and have very different opinions of me. And so it was fun to do. Let's challenge me right off the bat high. Face cutter, Becca Childs. What's up, girl?
What's up? What's up?
Thanks for coming back in one more again.
Thanks for having me.
I figured, you know, before I go, I'd get you in again. Some other people are going to come back. It's going to be fun stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I know how much you like to partake in marijuana, so I was like, yeah, she'll smoke with me. It'll be fun.
These are allegations.
Yeah. You can allegate whatever you want.
It's true.
Yeah, so we have some Blue Dream, and it's fantastic, and we're in the studio. I had to shut all the windows. It's supposed to be getting cooler in here. I didn't want to get yelled at.
Oh, okay. There's house rules.
I've been yelled at before. Me and Matt Fernandez. He came on, and we were getting kind of loud, and all the windows were open because it was cooler outside, and one of the neighbors yelled at us because apparently it was like a funnel of sound once it leaves the windows here. And, like, everybody could hear every word we're saying, and we're being loud and obnoxious, so.
Oh, that's funny. Yeah, there's a little coffee shop across from there. Just really upsetting them as they're trying to do, like, their crossword puzzles and stroke their beards.
Oh, I never feel so judged as until I go somewhere super hipster.
Oh, yeah, for sure. Like, I didn't even know the proper responses to anything. I went there, got this coffee, and like the menu's up like in chalk, and I'm like, how do I even order? He's like, what do you like? And you know, has this whole intro. His glasses are like super round, and he looks like a character. You know, he has like a beard like all waxed up, and
little like, twirls in it. And
yeah, shit. So I was just like, I like flavored trash. It's like, oh well, we have that. And I'm like, oh okay, yeah, great. I'll just get some coffee. Actually, and he's like, no flavor, and I was like, oh, is it extra? And he's like, no, it's free. And I was like, oh, great. What's your favorite flavor? And he's like, oh, I don't drink that.
Why are you getting all excited about it then? You're upping the expectations, you douche.
Right. Yeah. So I was like, oh, okay. Yeah. I guess just vanilla then. I deserve.
I walk into places like that, and it's either like I've got like their, you know, t-shirt on where like I'll have some sort of pop culture like superhero t-shirt reference on, but I'm not doing it ironically. I'm doing it because I'm a fan of that thing.
Yeah, that mainstream crap. Like you're
not all of it's mainstream. Thank you. But I also am a grown ass man who will decide what the fuck I want to wear. So if I want to wear Iron Man t-shirt, I'm gonna wear an Iron Man t-shirt. And but I don't otherwise look like a hipster. So like I think I confuse them and frighten them because I'm much larger than most of them because I eat like the gluten that they all give up. I eat all the gluten.
See, like they hate us for different reasons. You know what I mean? Like that's what I like. I hate Marvel, you know, movies. I'm not about it. I went with my boyfriend and his family to see Rogue One. And, you know, he's like, I know you think this is all formulaic garbage, but thanks. You know, I appreciate you coming out. And I was like, I'll try to have a positive attitude, but, you know. And it was all right. But, you know, even like just the big movies, I think, are just like watching a cinematic checklist of, did we do the thing that you like? You remember this thing?
Well,
it's there.
Yeah, that's why we see those movies, because nobody goes to see those movies like, oh, I hope they get a lot of Academy Awards. No, they know better. Like, or at least most of us do. Like, it's suspended disbelief. You go to a movie like that to just completely forget, like, what your reality is.
Okay, see, I watch movies that are going to depress me and are so close to reality that it just, like, I'll be plagued by it. You know, I'll watch people make mistakes that I make, but worse, and, like, suffer the consequences that I'm terrified of. Like, just shit that will haunt you. Like, that's what I like to watch.
I'll watch some of those movies. Like, of course, I've seen Requiem.
Yes.
I own Clockwork Orange.
Yeah.
I've seen movies that aren't necessarily, like, great pick-me-ups.
Have you seen Gummo? That's a weird one that I like to throw out there. It's real depressing and real weird.
What movie made me... Ex Machina made me kind of sad.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
I just watched one, too, where when I finished it, I was just like, I am so sad now. I must watch something retardedly silly and over-the-top funny to get... Like, you have to balance, bro. It's all about balance.
No, I hear that, but, like, the one redeeming factor of Rogue One for me was the ending. I was like, yep, all right, I feel okay now. Look over, you know, in the movie theater, I'm just like, yeah, they all died. I'm really happy right now.
Oh,
that's,
bro.
That's the best.
No spoilers.
I know, spoiler.
No spoilers. I still haven't seen it. I'm a little sad in that nerddom, but
everybody
I gotta
knows
save my
it
money.
By now.
Nah, I am very good at staying away from spoilers because I'm not so nerdy that I go on those sites and shit. And, like, if I start to look at a friend's post, most of them have the decency to put spoiler alert in there.
Oh, my bad.
No, that's all right.
Just erase that from your brain.
I have been ruined before, so.
Oh, I knew that.
Did you watch Sons of Anarchy?
Mm-mm.
No, of course you didn't. What was I thinking, Becca Childs?
No, I just live it.
Funny. Daughters of Anarchy. Sons of Anarchy was a great show, but yeah, like, I thought it was. And this main character gets killed in the fifth season. And, like, it's a big shock. And I hadn't seen the episode yet, and I was going through Facebook, and I saw somebody put, holy shit, Sons of Anarchy, and I just immediately started scrolling, like, as fast as I could. And I was like, all right, got past that. And as soon as I stop it, I saw the main character where it said R.I.P. And, like, I was like, son of a bitch.
So there was a study that was done that showed that people actually had a deeper appreciation for movies when the ending was spoiled for them. This whole thing they did in the 70s, I don't remember what it was called, but
I
think it's interesting. Well, they would spoil the movie or the story, I don't know if it was like a movie or a story, for the people participating in the study, and they actually found that many of them reported having enjoyed the movie or the story more having it spoiled ahead of time so that they could see all the things leading up to what happened. You know what I mean? It's kind of like rewatching a movie and appreciating it again. So
I'm
on the fence with it.
No, I like the surprise. I like to play along with them.
That's true. Yeah, like I'm thinking about a lot of seasons of shows and knowing, oh, so-and-so dies.
Yeah. Like that's why I'll never watch Game of Thrones.
No, I don't give a crap about that.
One of my friends showed me, and this was a couple seasons in, but they showed me this clip with Jason Momoa. And I love Jason Momoa. I think he's badass. And they showed me this clip where he's like some warrior tribe leader or whatever. He kicks the shit out of somebody talking shit about like their mother the whole time. It was fucking hilarious. It was great. Made him a total badass. I was like, yes, I love that fucking guy. And my friend's like, yeah, he dies at the end of season one. I'm like, well, I'm never going to watch that show now. That was my favorite character. I just found him, and then you immediately took him away. There's no point for me to watch this show, and I haven't. Fuck that show. I'll never do it.
Aww.
That hurt me, man. I like him as an actor. Not that he's any good actor, but he was in some cool shit, so. Do you know who I'm talking about?
No, I don't watch that show, so I'm just like, oh, I understand what you're talking about, though. I hate it when they kill off, like, a character that you enjoyed, but.
Well, what shows are you into?
Does
that make this about me?
Yeah. Come on, jerk.
Yeah, I'm on here every week.
Let's see. Yeah, do you watch Mr. Robot? I love that show.
I haven't watched the second season yet because they won't put it for free on Amazon.
Okay.
Sons of bitches.
Let's see. Do you have
the first
Hulu?
Season was really good. Yeah. Is it on Hulu?
No. There's another show that's on Hulu. No.
I got really excited.
No, The Good Place isn't too bad. That's not normally my bag, but CJ wanted to start watching it, and I was like, okay. Yeah, what is it, like the high concept kind of shows?
Okay.
So that's a weird one. Did you ever watch Dead Like Me?
No, but why the fuck does that sound familiar?
It's like, you know, this girl becomes like a Grim Reaper kind of.
Oh.
Like,
no, never mind.
A couple of them, and they like act as Grim Reapers. It's a weird, like, high concept kind of show that's like difficult to explain, but it's like, oh, but once you get into it, it's
sounds
fun.
Like a spinoff, because that's how Supernatural's Reapers were. There's a bunch of Grim Reapers in Supernatural.
Oh, Dead Like Me is pretty old. It's like HBO. Early 2000s or something. But no, if you haven't seen that, it doesn't even help.
No.
But no, this is The Good Place, and it's like there's an architect of this world, and everybody had it all wrong. Like, all the religions were wrong, and it's there's like a good place and there's a bad place, and there's a mix up, and there's somebody who and you're following the story of like a chick who's basically a pretty bad person.
Right.
And got there on accident, and she's like faking her way through, and there's a lot of like ethics and whatnot. So it's an interesting show. That's on Hulu. Another show that I'm watching that I think is pretty good. Another high concept show. What is it? People of Earth.
I've heard of that one too.
Okay.
I think I saw like a trailer for that one.
Okay.
Have you seen Black Mirror yet?
Of course, I've seen all of them.
That show's
Christmas
insane.
Special. Oh. That's my shit. That is my shit.
I have two episodes left. Yeah, I have two episodes left. That show's like, that's one of those ones you got to take a pause on though. I can't watch that. Mm-hmm. Like, I watched two in a row, and I was like, all right, I'm good for, like, a day or two, and then I'll watch another couple.
Oh, yeah, I'm not a binger. I'll watch, like, an episode or something a day. Like, getting through a season takes a while for me.
Oh, no, I'll binge the shit out of stuff if I really, like I'm binging Scrubs for the 3,000,000th time right now, where I just literally just turn on the background and just let it go.
See, I like to let things marinate between, you know, I guess I like the stuff that, you know, fucks with your head. You know, I could never watch a whole bunch of Black Mirror because you kind of need to think about it. Like, what is it, the San Junipero episode? Or, you know, that one and like another one too close, like back to back, you're not really thinking about it, you know, for at least a good amount of time.
That's one of like the only happy ending ones.
Yeah,
San
yeah, and
Junipero
I still liked it.
And the
well, it's happy, but it's also sad. It's a very depressing.
Well,
I
thought the White Bear one was a happy ending too. I liked it.
I guess, but it's very dark.
It's super
idea
dark.
Of justice, but turning it into a theme park, basically. It's like the Casey Anthony theme park.
Yeah.
If
you could have stuck Casey Anthony in that theme park. Mm-hmm. And for those of you that don't know what we're talking about, just watch the fucking show. We're not
so
explaining
good.
This.
Yeah.
It is. It's really weird. British people are weird,
shit.
Though.
Huh?
British people are weird.
Yeah.
Like, they get away with so much on their TV.
Yeah. Have you seen The Inbetweeners?
No.
Oh, it's a good British show. They tried to Americanize it, and it was garbage, but, you know,
that's what
they do.
That's what usually happens. I heard The Office was good in either one. I just never got into The Office.
No, I'm not into the, like, sitcom-y kind of stuff. I never really have.
I so am. I'm so bad. Well, that's
really?
I grew up in that generation that was like, all right.
Seinfeld.
Yeah, well, not even Seinfeld. I'm talking, like, TGIF and... must-watch TV, like, literally where on certain nights you knew that at 7 o'clock, 7:30, 8, like, Tim Allen fucking Home Improvement and Roseanne.
Oh, yeah, I remember that,
Step by Step, and, yeah, I used to watch all those fucking horrible shows.
I used to watch a lot of, like, Grace Under Fire and Roseanne and stuff because it was around The Simpsons. Like, I watched Simpsons religiously. Mostly because my parents told me not to because they were religious. Like, there was this whole thing. I was like, oh, I have to watch it. I hated Tool Time, though. I was like, no way. That is not.
I was a boy in Wisconsin. Yeah, like, we'd be in shop class fucking reciting lines the next day. Yeah, I took shop class. It was amazing.
Yeah, nice.
I heard they don't do that for kids anymore.
No.
That's
no,
so
they
sad.
They cut back on everything that they can except for, like, standardized testing.
That's so sad. Do you know how amazing shop class was?
I had, like, a version of shop class before.
Oh. Man.
It's good. It's good stuff.
My mom still has a table that I built in the 7th grade. And we see I am fuck-ass old right now. So it's almost
vintage.
30 years. Yeah.
It's a vintage table now.
Dick. It's like 26, 27 years old.
Yeah.
However old I was when I was in 7th grade. And, Yeah, it still works. It's sturdy.
Nice.
Yeah, I'm a fucking craftsman.
Go public school, you know? I went to a high school in the middle of nowhere, and we had ag. That's something that I don't share with a lot of people.
I'm making weird faces of this area. For the podcast listeners.
Yeah, ag class, agriculture class. That was a thing.
Yeah, my daughter had that in her middle school. I thought that was kind of neat, though.
Yeah. So we had a shop kind of built into ag sometimes, but we also learned how to drive a tractor and watched Adam Sandler movies back to back most days. But, you know, the other stuff sometimes, like the classic, like the coach.
Right.
Was doing double duty, teaching ag and, you know, coaching the football team.
Oh.
Yeah, it was always one of those. And the whole time he's like, yeah, just go play in the wood shop or something or watch Happy Gilmore again. And I'm trying to run these plays. So just fuck off.
Nice. Yeah, our shop teacher or our football coach has always got away with being like the gym teacher.
Mm-hmm.
We had one. He was the assistant coach for JV. He was the detention teacher. Basically, we just paid him to sit in a room in the basement and watch the kids on in-school suspension.
Oh, yeah. I was in there all the time.
Yeah, that's a little rough. Where'd you go to school? Yeah.
Turkey Creek. Turkey Creek Middle School.
Is that?
Around here.
Oh, that's around here?
Yeah, that's around here. Well, it's in the country.
But you're a Floridian.
I'm a Floridian, yeah. So, he was also like ex-military and one of these guys who would teach our in-school suspension, the ISS class.
Yeah, we had that.
It was this windowless room off of the gym. And this guy would make us do like, you know, fitness tests. He would make us do a lot of like physical stuff, you know, to like get the bad out of you. But if you kept returning there, you know, it was just kind of a show for the new people.
Right.
So we'd all have to be like, yeah, it's really bad in here. Oh, man. And then, like, when they would leave and it was just all the regs, you know, like the regulars, we would just play dodgeball and crap. Like, you know, you win them over. But I had to learn to recite, like, the preamble. Like, we would have to stand up and just, like, we the people in order to form a more perfect union.
Oh, wow.
You know, we would have.
Manchurian Candidate type of shit.
We were in there a lot, but.
You're a fucking sleeper cell, bro. Like, yeah, you're hanging out with all these hipsters now, but one day you're just going to stand up and pledge allegiance, dude. It's going to be awkward. I still remember that. I used to do the Pledge of Allegiance. That's how old I am. In middle school.
Wait, what do you mean? They don't do that?
I don't think they do that. They stopped doing that years ago, didn't they?
Aw, I have no idea.
I could have swore they took that. Like, that's been a huge thing. Like, oh, fucking took the Pledge of Allegiance out. Now kids are shooting each other. Like, that's a correlation.
Wow, I didn't know about that. I thought that was, like, just this thing that they would always force us to do no matter what.
I know for a fact a while back they changed it from One Nation Under God to One Nation Indivisible with Liberty and Justice.
That's how I always said it anyway. I would always just pause and then just keep going. Nobody even noticed.
That's how I was raised. We stood up, we looked at the corner, we put our hands over our hearts, and we said the Pledge of Allegiance, and then we got started. That's when you're still like, Mr. Bailey, yes, Miss Bender, can I please go to the bathroom? Yeah. Oh, my God.
I got in trouble in my homeroom class because I stood too slowly for the pledge one morning, and she took it as, like, an act of insubordination.
Fucking anarchist.
Yeah. Well, okay, she was mad at me because I made jokes about the Pope, because she had, like, a magazine, like,
Wait, what grade was this?
This was homeschool. This was when I was homeschool.
Dude, your mom sounds tough, bro.
No, it was in high school. It's much funnier, though.
Your mom's a gangster.
No, that'd be awful. No, I was in high school, public school. Yeah, because they trapped you with the same homeroom teacher for multiple years. And, you know. Yeah, well, they did in my high school. It was just
school?
Yeah, this was in high school, so it was just, like, divided out by, you know, alphabetically. By your last name. So, it was the same group of us, always with the same homeroom teacher. And she hated me. She hated me. So, she was always trying to get me for little infractions like that. So, one morning I stood up too slow, probably sarcastically. She probably overheard me, like, deleting the God part or something. You know, I just got under her skin and she was like, referral. Got me my nice yellow slip. You remember those? Were they like yellow or pink slips?
There's like three of them. It's like that carbon copy shit.
Yeah.
Dude, it got to the point my junior year where I was getting suspended. I got suspended like 10 times in like a 10-week period. Like I was literally getting suspended once a week. It got to the point. I got a referral. All right. This one may have been a little bit my fault, I got a referral because I was supposed to be in home ec, and the home ec room was like in, on the other side of the gymnasium as the bathrooms. Mm-hmm. So I was like, hey, I got to go to the bathroom. She let me go. I go past the gym, go to the bathroom. On my way back, I see the doors open. They're playing basketball, and one of my friends is playing at the net right by the door. So I started talking shit. Next thing you know, we're like embroiled in this heated game of one-on-one. Like, I'm supposed to be in a completely different class, and like, I'm like, we're going hard at it, dude. Like, we're pouring sweat. I don't even know how long it was going for. And all of a sudden, I look up, and my home ec teacher's just in the doorway with the referral written out. So I just was like, all right, yeah, fair enough. Grabbed it, walked in the vice principal's office. I tossed it on his desk. He looked at it, didn't even read it. Just like saw what it was, saw it was me, and go see you in 3 days, and went back to his paperwork.
Wow.
And I just turned around and left for 3 days. Oh, yeah.
It sounds like it was worth it.
I was one away from expulsion. On my last one, he literally told me, he goes, your next suspension will be 10 days, and there will be expulsionary hearings. That's what he used to do to me and all my friends. He would just give us these little 3 days, mm-hmm. and he would be half-assed about sending letters home, or he'd, like, leave one message on a machine.
So that you would screw up.
And so, yeah, you would rack them up, because you're like, oh, I'm getting away with this. So you'd rack, like, I racked up 9. My friend Justin racked up 9. My friend Wes racked up, like, 12 plus, like, 37 in schools. He was a fucking beast.
See, you were doing this as a group of friends. Like, I envy that. It was just, like, me. You know?
Oh, no, there was a whole squad of us. Like, if I hadn't left my high school when I did... Because I left halfway through my senior year, and I think I was, like, in the process of failing a class. I'd failed 2 classes my junior year just because it wasn't that I wasn't smart. I just never went.
Oh, yeah. No, I was never in school.
And when I was stoned. I was fucking off. I was drunk. I used to go to school fucking hammered drunk. Oh, get just sloshed on lunch break. It was bad.
Yeah, there were a few times we snuck in alcohol in high school. Like, this is not something to admit to, but okay. So because there were a few incidents where we did that, or like, you know, in class even, you know, just in like the water bottles or whatnot, right. You know, you have like your Jack and Coke, you have like your clear vodka or something. And I had never drank before then. And, you know, they started getting suspicious. So I ended up getting my shit searched, my locker, and they patted me down. But I was, like, real sarcastic about it. I was like, thanks for rearranging my locker. It was really dirty, you know. Yeah. Or when they were patting me down, I was just like, because it was this, like, awkward-ass, like, tall white dude and this, like, angry, just never-liked-me lady, just real large and just, anyway, like, Miss... Oh, I don't want to say names. Anyway,
they're not listening to.
Oh, no.
Come on. Anyway, don't be a punk.
Okay, so, they had it out for me, and so they were looking for stuff, and they never found anything. But I remember there was a time where I had a suspension that was like 3 days or what have you, and they had added an extra day to that suspension to make it where I couldn't take a test, and I was struggling as it is. So it's similar to your thing where they're just like, get out of here. We don't give a crap about you. You know, suffer the consequences. And so they're trying to make you fail even worse than you already are. So I remember I wasn't allowed to take the test, and I think my mom came in and fought for me, you know, yelled at him or something, like, this is bullshit.
Right.
And so I ended up taking the test, like, in their office so I could pass. And I would have failed the class.
Of
so I remember being, like, in a conference room by myself just, like, taking this exam, like, I better pass, you know, like, oh. So I feel you.
One of my teachers... He had to have just passed me because he didn't want to deal with me again. Because at the time, he was the only teacher that taught Algebra 1. Or I don't even think it was Algebra 1. I think it was like pre-Algebra. Like, I fucking sucked at Algebra. I was great at geometry. But fucking dog shit. And, yeah.
Yeah, I feel that now.
My freshman year, I just remember, like, hardly ever going to his class. It was right before lunch, so I would skip it all the time and just take, like, a fucking... hour and a half lunch break, because we used to get like 45 minutes plus classes were like 45 each. We went for like 8 hours a day at my high school. Like, it was a fucking job. Like, I had a day job. Mm-hmm. And it was fucking garbage.
Damn. Yeah.
Yeah. But like, so we would just skip like third period and take like an extra long lunch all the time. And then for the finals, I just write down the fucking exam sheet. I was just like, cab, dad, bad, dab. Just like spelling any kind of words I could, just did the whole exam in like 3 minutes, got up. He just looked at me and was like, leave. I swear to God, leave to his student. And I got a D minus. Got like a 60%.
Yeah, just just passing, you know, just like.
Yep, just enough to get me. Yeah, because then I was somebody else's. But then I got like an A. I think I got two A's and like two B's in geometry, and that was without trying.
See, that's the thing. The motivation is all wrong. Yeah. They try to put like this fire and brimstone and fear in you and force you to go through at this certain rate. You know, and it's like, well, it doesn't always work like that. Yeah. I remember I was so bad in high school, and I don't know how. They just scraped me by. I graduated early, and I was like, I'm done with high school. I didn't think I was going to go to college. And then I did because, God, working minimum wage jobs is the worst thing. Like, that is all the fire, brimstone, and fear I need is just, like, capitalism on the low end.
Right.
So that was terrifying and went back. And I wanted to prove to myself that I could do it. I'm like, well, I know that I'm not stupid, I think. Well, we'll find out. And I ended up going all the way to calculus.
Oh, nice.
Yeah. And I only went to, like, just the bare basic stuff in high school. But I had a lot of tutoring. Like, I enjoyed community college and all that and really embraced, university right. life and college life and you know, that was much better than high school and the institutionalized system that you were stuck in, I guess, you know, that we were both fighting against and, you know, because we weren't conforming well, you know, go us.
I don't know, like, I think I wanted to conform, though. Like, I just wanted, like, this was mine because I was crying out for attention, really, because I was an only child and I was one of 10 black kids in the whole school and I'm only mixed. And I'm not even a dark-skinned mixed person. And it was still very obvious that I was one of the 10 black kids in the school. Like, it was so white.
Mm.
Out of, like, 400 and some students. Like, it was a small school, too. The one I was supposed to go to was, like, 98% black. I'd have been just fine. But, like, this one, I just always felt like I had to show out more and be entertaining and, like, to be accepted by the white people. And most of them had money, too. Very few of them were poor. So it was rough.
I hear that.
I became a dancing monkey.
Yeah. No, I feel that. In a way, I did, too, because I wasn't the, like, hot chick in class. So I had to learn how to have a sense
of
humor.
You're adorable, Becky. Becca.
Jesus
Sorry.
Christ.
Sorry. My bad. A little high.
Well, and when I was in high school and middle school, though, you know, I was the chubby girl, and I would get made fun of a lot. Mm-hmm. Like, middle school was really rough for me. And then high school, I just started... you know, dressing all, well, I hated the term goth, you know, we were freaks, you know, so I had this alt style and, you know, I definitely adopted that stuff.
Right.
And then I was starting to in middle school. So I had to use humor and whatnot to deflect because I was like, you know how kids do where there's always somebody's like the butt of the joke. It's like, or somebody's the aim, you know, it's like, oh, yeah, making out with Brittany. Oh, that'd be nice. Like, oh, yeah, well, I bet you're going to end up with, don't say it, Becca, you know. So I was like that girl. And then so I would have to chime in and be like, oh, you think that's bad, huh? But picture me naked. Oh, let's all make puking things together. Like, let's all just like, feign puking. Oh, am I your friend now? We are friends. We're friends. And just go home and cry, you know.
Cry at the party. It's fun. It's fun. Just cry there.
Oh, as long as you get invited.
Yeah,
know?
Right?
Yeah.
Nah, I used to get, I'd get so drunk too. I'd be that guy that got drunk like super quick. Like I'd sometimes throw up, nap, and be awake again before the party ended.
Mm.
Like I would, because I would just get there early.
Go
I just,
hard.
Yeah. I'd go hard right away, try to impress everybody, and then be like, okay, I'll be right back. Like lay on the bathroom floor for hours. And then get up and be like, hey, we still partying?
That's interesting. Yeah, the people I was friends with never did parties, you know?
Oh, no,
we
God.
Would go home and play WoW or something, maybe. But that was my party of five.
You know? World of Warcraft.
Up to 40 people in one party sometimes. Wow. Pretty exciting stuff.
I mean.
Yeah, I know. Like, different worlds we come from.
The most, when I was in my 20s, we'd have like a PlayStation going on in the background. Like two people would be playing Madden talking shit during a big party. But everybody's still drinking, getting fucked up, like, or we'll play, like, fighting games.
Yep. Yeah, I like fighting games. Yeah.
Oh, what game did I just play? That was so much fun. Gods, in DC Injustice, Gods Among Us.
Okay. Yeah, DC fighting games.
Oh, so much fun.
Yeah. They're more like the Mortal Kombat ones, you know, they're not like the Street Fighters and what have you, like the arcade-ish.
Yeah, and the they're... controls like for to do their combos just got way too complicated. Like it used to be like down towards, like, do that little half circle and press, like, mm-hmm. A or B, and now it's, like, down towards back, left, right, up, right, down, down, towards, to do, like, a spinning kick. It's way too much.
Yeah, you have to study if you want to get good at a fighting game like that. Now, that's why Smash Brothers is pretty fun, you know?
Yeah, is it just, like, simple?
Yeah, you got your smashes, which is just, like, over and A, over and B, you know? but you get good at the, you know, the nuances of hopping around,
right,
and shielding and throwing and that kind of stuff at the right time.
They
do tournaments for that crap. They're intense. But, I mean, you're still memorizing, like, combos and stuff, and...
I mean,
it's its own world. It's its own thing.
Yeah, but will anything ever be as intense of a as a bunch of fucking people sitting around playing a Mario Kart drinking game?
Oh man, Mario Party, that ruins friendships and controllers, like everything. Windows.
I don't think I played Mario Party.
No.
Is that for the Wii?
Oh, yeah.
Is that the board game one?
Yeah, it's the board game one. They have it for the Wii. They've had it for the GameCube. I think there's one for the 64. Yeah, Mario Party 64. Yeah. Yeah, that's the one where you broke your controller trying to do, like, the spinny shit. It's always do this one action over and over and over and over again and, like, then steal the things from your friends and make them go back on the board and, you know. it's a good time, just like Mario Kart, you know, screaming at each other.
Yeah, when we were, like, Monopoly used to be that. That's how far I go back. I remember having a game night with my sister, her husband at the time, one of their friends, like, and we were, like, drinking wine. Like, we were, like, 21. So this was a little fucking unnecessary. But, like, we just thought we were fancy. So we, like, sat there and, like, drank wine and played Monopoly, like, four fucking super grown adults.
Is that your white side?
Apparently it was. It was all very fancy.
Embracing your white culture.
I like wine sometimes. I used to, anyway.
Wine, cheese, and Monopoly. Wow, dude, that's...
That is fancy. I do have a monocle for when I do my wee.
I can't talk. Go ahead and laugh at me.
Oh, I am laughing at you. It's just like one of those where you just sit there and smile, kind of laughs.
And I feel like I haven't... See, I feel like I've sounded weird this whole time. This is my first podcast being stoned since I took my 2-week tolerance break.
Is that your paranoia?
It might be.
Yeah.
I thought this was pretty mellow shit with no paranoia, but I might have smoked too much. Because I think I kind of jump back into how much I used to smoke.
Don't worry, I'll make you feel better. Wake up, you're in a coma.
Yeah, don't do that. I was just watching something today where the dude's in a coma. Get back to shows. Hand of God on Amazon.
Oh, okay.
Have you seen that?
No.
Do you know who Ron Perlman is?
No. Wait, it's familiar.
Hellboy.
Okay.
Sons of Anarchy.
He's got a weird face. Like, he's just really thick.
Yeah, he's just very squared off.
Jarish, man.
Yes. He's a judge whose son, like, kills himself after his wife was raped in front of him, and he had to watch.
Oh, wholesome shit.
Or he tries to kill himself, but he's in a coma. But Ron Perlman's character, the judge, thinks he hears God talking to him. So, like, he's trying to become, like, a vigilante. But he's also, you know, still a judge and, like, a very recognizable, well-known judge. So he can't just go running off, like, pulling all these strings without people noticing. Like, it's weird. I'm still not sure how I feel about it. I'm, like, halfway through, so I should probably make a decision.
Hmm.
Well, like, how long did it take you to get into shows?
I'm pretty judgmental, so I'll give it, like, an episode or two. But, you know, if I don't like something, I'm like, I can't get into this.
You're just openly judgmental.
Well, there sometimes if you're following a character that you just don't give a crap about. Okay, so Breaking Bad. That took me, I think, 2 seasons, though. And I was just done. I was like, this guy's an asshole. You know, there's just so much.
Which guy?
Bryan
Cranston?
Yeah. I love Bryan Cranston as an actor. He's fantastic. But what is it?
I think they call him Eisenberg for the show. Yeah, I didn't watch it either.
Right. Heisenberg, I think, just is one of these characters that makes a lot of, like, flawed decisions, but it's all based on, like, hyper-masculinity. And especially for, like, the first 2 seasons where he has to keep it all secret. It's like, oh, you wouldn't understand. And just... aggravating. It's very aggravating to watch, and you're just like, you're being an asshole right now. You're just... you know, going off and you know, making these kind of bad decisions that in a frustrating way, I guess, like, as opposed to something I could relate to.
Well, like, I watched the first season, And I just couldn't get in. Like, I started the second. I couldn't finish the first episode of the second.
Okay.
But in the first season, I think a lot of his decisions, while they were wrong, I think it was that whole, like, I don't think it had anything to do with hyper-masculinity. I think, if anything, he was showing a vulnerability by, like, he's already doing something horrible for his family, so he needs to keep them. Because if shit goes sideways, like, it's, you know what I'm saying? Like, if you're caught dealing drugs from your home, like, let's say he were doing it from his house, he involved his wife, whatever. When the police show up, whether or not, like, the house was bought with drug money, the house is now gone. Everything in the house, all their possessions, all... So,
right,
and if
he
there
involved
so,
her just by making these decisions, you know, and then, like, the
yeah,
thing about
but if he can keep
somebody,
it from her, you can still use the ignorance.
I get that. You know, I've had managers that even say that, like, don't tell me the truth. Like, you know what I mean? Like, if I know the truth, I have to fire you.
Right.
You know, that kind of thing. But, you know, he was getting everything wrapped up more and more, and, you know, especially if they're still married, you know, and they had this family for, you know... For the beginning of the show, it's like, oh no, that, you know, this baby's born, and it affects so many things. And it was a very selfish. He was acting very selfishly. And then I think it was cool when his wife got more involved in it in the other seasons, and that's cool and fine and what and have you. But there was just a lot of aggravating, like, dick waving happened, especially with, like, the drug people and whatnot. And, you know,
well, with drug cartels, there's usually quite a bit of... It's a very masculine world.
And
I'm not sure if you're aware of that.
And Heisenberg is a very, like, egotistical character. And I don't know.
It just wasn't my thing. I watched, like, the first season. I just couldn't get into it. It just wasn't... I don't know. That one... I'm trying to remember what else, like, I gave a shot. For some reason, I'm not watching Orange is the New Black anymore.
Yeah, I wasn't into that one. I tried. I loved Weeds. For the first few seasons, it was pretty good, and it started going downhill.
People told me I would love that.
It's good. It's good.
Well, they said because I smoke weed. Apparently, anything marijuana-related, I have to just absolutely be in love with.
Right. It's like, you know, you tell your friends that, it's like, hey, I think I like parrots. And then, like, every Christmas gift you ever get is, like, a parrot-themed thing until your house is filled with parrots, you know? People are like, oh, I remember this one fact about you. It happens to me with horses. Like, if people find out that I ride horses, they're like, oh, okay, you want this horse calendar? And I've had, like, a stack of them or something, you know.
Well, don't you actually love the horse calendars, though? Let's be honest.
You know, you seem like
that person.
As much as anybody loves hanging tacky calendars around their house.
So enormously. Like, it would be my wallpaper. If I had enough calendars to completely cover a wall, I would, and I would mark one every... I would just mark them all every day. That would be my morning workout, is to see how fast I can mark all the calendars on the wall.
Every morning?
Every morning.
Every morning.
No. Like, two mornings, and then I'd be like, fuck this.
Yeah. That sounds about right.
That's how far my ambition goes. I do love tacky calendars, though.
I mean, if I had a cubicle.
Yeah. My cubicle right now looks pretty nerded out. There's, like, some anime shit. There's some comic book shit. There's a little sports shit, too. I'm a very confusing person, I guess.
I don't know what my tastes are. I go with the flow.
Yeah, like right next to my Buccaneers ball, I think I have like a starship from Battlestar Galactica. Just nerd shit, chilling right there by my memorabilia.
Yeah, I didn't get into that one. I did watch Babylon 5 and Firefly and a lot of the staples of good sci-fi movies. So
I'm not TV series.
Terrible.
Don't upset any nerd listeners I have. Somebody just yelled. Firefly was a TV series.
Oh, yeah, it was, yeah. But they had a movie.
Did they?
I didn't even say movies. I just said good sci-fi
movies.
Staples.
I thought you said movies.
Maybe at some point. But, I mean, there is a movie, but I understand. I've seen the series.
Well, now they're yelling at me then because I didn't know there was
and
a movie.
And Babylon 5 was a series
yes.
as well. So.
I vaguely remember that one. I think that was during my heavy drugs and alcohol period.
Okay. It's weird. It's just like diplomats floating around in space. And like, what if there was all these like powerful aliens and you tried to make an embassy up there, but still pretending like humans are the most important and best. So.
Yeah. If we ever find the aliens, they're probably going to be really upset. Like, that's my theory, is that like the aliens are watching us. Like, I keep saying this. We're like the shitty kid on the neighborhood. We're like on our porch.
Yeah, we're bringing down property values, I'm pretty sure, for them.
Like, we can see, like, the edges of our yard, which would be, like, the galaxy. And then we can see a little bit beyond that, like some of the other, but we can't really go outside there. We can go a little ways off our porch, but we can't even go all the way in our yard. I'm hoping we stay like that so the aliens don't nuke us.
Yeah, as long as we don't, like, keep figuring things out, they'll just, like, leave us alone. You know, it's kind of like...
Well, the next 4 years, I don't think there are going to be many advancements in area, not in America.
You're going to start mining asteroids and stuff and bring it back and...
Maybe a war. That could happen. You think? In the next 4 years?
Oh,
Emperor
yeah.
Trump?
The Trumpocalypse? Yeah.
The Trumpocalypse, 2016-17?
Yeah, yeah. That's... We should get ready.
We should.
There could be. Could be a war.
I could see it coming, man. Well, like I told somebody this, there's like a...
China.
I know a certain Russian family who's buying up quite a bit of property down in Florida where nobody suspects weird shit to happen. Wink, wink. See? So Russians will just start invading Florida and work their way up.
No, we're chummy with Russians now. They're not going to... They're not upset. China's upset with us over the Taiwan
phone call?
Stuff. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, because they consider Taiwan like theirs and Taiwan's like, no. So...
It's like a petulant child. It's like, I'm fucking 18. Yeah, I still pay your car insurance. So, dude, I tell you, no, I'm going to call America.
Yeah, right? So.
And well, not only that, but like, because I was talking to my bosses at work, and he's like, oh, you know, we shouldn't really worry about China because Russia's, like, Russia and them are chummy. And I'm like, yeah, unless China realizes that if Russia and us become chummy.
get chub from Russia. Oh,
yeah.
They're chubs to be had, from
but if Putin and Trump fucking team up and decide, like, okay, let's go to war, like, those are the two biggest militaries. Like, so if China thinks that we're making a move like that or if Putin's making a move like that, then they'll get pissed at both of us. And then if they can pull their money before we declare war, that's going to be a big problem.
Wars aren't going to be started unless there's some money to be made. That's how modern wars are. So
you think
unless
they won't
there's territory
that shit out?
To be claimed. But, I mean,
yeah.
if Taiwan, you know, is that big of a deal to China that, you know, it could spark something.
See?
That's why it's so scary that, like, one tweet could literally spark, you know,
see,
the
first,
beginning of a war.
First, Putin will help America take over Canada. Mexico and South America, because those will be fairly easy. Let's fucking be honest, okay? America could probably do it by ourselves.
No, we don't need to, because a lot of these private corporations already own so much of these.
Well, no, but
countries.
Then that's it. We're them. Like, all of those countries, that'll just be America, and then we're going to help Trump take over Europe and China, and then we'll probably, like, split Africa. And so
there's going to be, like, a conquest.
Yeah, I think it's just going to be two countries. It's going to be Russia on one side and America on the other. And Putin's going to treat Trump like his little sister for the next, I don't know, 50 years until somebody assassinates him.
Oh, so Gaddafi.
Mm.
He seems very Gaddafi-like. I have a friend from Libya I used to work with. And I was working with her when the elections were going on. And so we would joke about Trump. But it was never, like, as scary as it actually happening. But anyway, she would tell me how it was living with Gaddafi. And I was like, yeah, wasn't he in power for, like, 20 years? She's like, yeah, 40. Like, 41 years or something like that. And I'm like, holy shit, never mind. But, yeah, you know, you have somebody who controls absolutely everything, your access to media and...
Yeah, but I think there's enough people in this country. There's enough people in power. Like, everybody was freaking out, like... All he has to do is tell somebody to push the button and we have to launch nukes. I'm like, well, no. First of all, they're supposed to. Okay, that's what they're supposed to do. But you got to believe that the person whose finger is actually on that button, when Trump starts yelling at him, they're going to be like, sir, we're not even at war. Like, I'm not putting in the code. Like, go ahead and fire me. And he'll just get up and walk out. And then the next guy will be like, yeah, I'm not fucking ending the world either, dude. Like, they
should just install, like, a fake one for Trump. Like, there should be,
that
like,
was
a
my
fake,
joke.
Oh, really? Like, a fake button for him to just go, whenever he gets mad, like, at 3 a.m. when one of his tweets isn't getting shared enough or retweeted, he just goes in there and he's just like, well, fuck China.
Right.
Fuck China and Mexico. So there's, like, a Mexico, bomb Mexico and bomb China. Like, they're just next to each other and he just gets to smash it as much as he wants.
It should make, like, little exploding noises, too.
Pew, 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 pew.
Like, just like wait, like I bet you money if you put like a little speaker in the corner of the room that was just like every time he hit the button, he's like, yeah, I knew I could hear it explode.
When are you guys going
to
hear that?
And then a crowd of people that he's paid to be there will come out and cheer. Because that's his favorite thing. Oh, my God. Did you watch the press conference?
God, no.
He had an audience of people there, like his staffers or whatever, to cheer and jeer at the reporters. Just like how he would staff his, well, in the beginnings of his campaign, he would staff the audience with like, oh, I'm here for Trump, not the money.
His his showmanship got him to where he is. Well, that and the DNC's horrible handling of everything. Everything.
We don't need charisma.
No. Hey, it looks like everybody that we're supposed to represent wants this guy. He's not going to listen to us. Go with the chick. They don't seem to like her.
Yeah.
Tell them they're sexist. I don't think it's a sexist thing. I think they just don't like her.
Shove this candidate down their throat. They'll like it.
Yeah. They'll never find out. Oh, shit. They just what?
So they shot themselves in the foot. But now it's Republicans, it's gotten out of their hands, too. Now they have this reality show guy who doesn't even know how to, like, you know, sit through one intelligence briefing.
And I don't think he's listening to, like, the top people. I think that, like, I just, it's kind of scary. Like, I used to laugh about it really hard. I know you were on here once or twice, and I laughed at you.
Yeah.
Oh, man. It's a...
There's a documentary that I've been meaning to watch. It was on YouTube, and they got removed, so I'm going to have to try to track it down. But it was made in the early 2000s, and it's about Trump's narcissistic quest for power. And just how some of his business dealings, because he's an interesting person as far as, like, psychologically speaking, is you have somebody who, pretends like, you know, he's infallible, but actually makes a ton of mistakes and then just plays it off and screws people over. Like, that's just the basics of his business dealings is him, like, undercutting or outsourcing or, you know,
it's his business deals are he's a ruthless businessman who works under the ethics that there are no ethics in business. You know, he's probably had fucking people killed. I'm not saying that definitely. If I don't make it to Wisconsin, just saying, y'all check my brake lines.
I mean, there's just so much on this guy that what's even the truth?
But and people say he's not an idiot. He might be being a jackass right now, but he's not an idiot.
He's smart enough to be doing the things, like a lot of things right that work, especially for a populist authoritarian figure. He's stumbling into basically doing the same thing Stalin would do, which is keeping everybody confused and attacking media sources that are reporting the truth and doing so in like a good manner instead of having them killed. He's just saying that you're false. Nobody listened to you. Get him out of here.
Well, I mean, it's easier to notice when somebody gets killed now. You know what I'm saying? It's not like the wild and lawless days of whenever the fuck Stalin was in power.
Well, I mean, yeah, he doesn't have the power of a dictator, which I'm sure he's sad about. Yeah.
Yet. let's not disrespect Emperor Trump.
Well, whatever changes that they make while he's there, let's just hope that when he leaves, we'll, you know, find their way to the next person so that they can get fixed. But it's going to be interesting. You know, the change that they're making, they're not thinking about longevity. They're not even thinking about the longevity of repealing Obamacare. They're just like, we don't like it. We got to get rid of it. And they've been pre-gaming this for 6 years, and now they're like, oh,
he's
shit.
He's already backtracked. Yeah.
Like, I lost my erection. You know, that's...
Like, I had a feeling that if... All right, I did say this. And now I don't know if this... I don't know if we can survive it, but I said it a couple times that, you know, Trump winning might be the best thing for the country, not because he would do a good job, but because he would do so horrible of a job that if America as a country were to be able to survive, like the changes to the system and the changes to the way things are done, because people at the top levels that don't normally get affected by, you know, who's in power, like, they say they do, but no, there's certain people that just don't give a shit. Well, now they have to give a shit because this is fucking insanity. Like, well, nobody can just look at this and go, we had an off year. Like, changes have to be made. And hopefully he'll be bad enough where there will be, like, a bunch of changes. Long-term, it should be better for the country. Like,
well, this
like
is
12, 15 years down the road.
Like, from an anthropological point of view, I was reading this article saying that, you know, this is nothing new. This is just kind of like the ebb and flow of humanity. You have prosperity for a while, and then something shakes that up, and then, you know, you see a lot of resentment building up, you know, especially in times of, like, recession, and then you have this backlash. So this has happened a lot in terms of humanity. And then so you're going to have changes. You're going to have people remember again. But it's sad that it has to happen. Like, each generation needs their own reminder, because we can't just listen to what came before us. Like, we complain about it, but we don't make any changes. So we're like, no, we need to see for ourselves how bad shit can get before we like the things that were put in place. We're going to dismantle it all first, and then we're going to want it back again. You know?
See, I think that it was something different this time, because... with the technology now, and with where we are as a culture, it's almost impossible to not see the past, because it will always be, the History Channel, the Discovery Channel, clips. People are always like, oh, remember when this happened? Remember, history, it's not just a matter of, because remember, 15, 20 years ago, if somebody knew about history, if somebody could tell you steps that have happened throughout our political system over the last 20 years, they would be an expert or a historian, somebody that really put effort into that. You can learn a lot of shit with very little effort just by fucking sitting on the internet for an hour or two a day. You have to eventually get good at real news sites and not and do your own research, but you can learn a lot of shit very passively. So you can't.
People's attention spans are short now.
It is, but that's why it's repeated. It's repetition.
And so the things that are being repeated are like these emotional stories and things that get people up in arms. And it's like, think about his line of they're not sending their best over here. They're rapists and murderers. That gets people. And instead of, this historical perspective would be like, well, we're all a nation of immigrants. And that's a really unfair way to categorize my friends and neighbors, because it's, or even thinking back to their own bloodlines, they were immigrants. And
right.
So like the things that, we're labeled against them. We're not even able to look back that far anymore. We're going to have to relive it. And that's what's sad.
Well, see, some people did. I mean, you definitely, what it was, I keep blaming this on the DNC. And no, I do. And
you would. No, that's fine.
And the reason being, and don't get me wrong, the Republic, the RNC, they deserve their share of the blame too. But the lion's share. The main fucking chunk of the pie is definitely going to the DNC, because I think that there were a lot of people like you, like me, who are more reasonable, who, can sit there and be like, hey, guys, maybe that wasn't cool to say. And I have a lot of friends that are like that, and they have friends. And this election year, I saw more, just even in general conversation, I saw more political opinions being shared, even if it was kind of in a joke, but more things were being thrown out constantly.
Everybody was in their own bubbles. And I was listening to a radio piece about this, where you're just getting the information that appeals to you more than ever. It's being catered.
Even if you're in that bubble, I think there are more and more people that were ready to speak out against this, but when they finally spoke up, when they're finally using their voice to feel like their voice didn't matter because the DNC went with who they were wanted to, not who was popular. That's why the voter turnout was so fucking horrible, because all these people were so excited. They thought they saw a change. They had a change with Obama being, the first black president, and now they have this chance to, have a guy who's a little outside the system, and then they force the same old same. So a lot of people that were speaking out, that were reasonable, were just like, well, why? Why? What's the point? And you got a lot of that shrugged shoulder.
Of course it was an unpopular candidate who didn't have a positive message. Her message was, look at this guy, he's nuts. And that was not enough to win it over. But the thing that really won was this idea that this underrepresented mass of people that showed up to vote, overwhelmingly in a lot of these areas for Trump. It was a very red map. But in the cities where everybody's typically more educated and they're experiencing a different lifestyle, a different economy than perhaps, the people who are out in rural Mississippi, and they're all huge Trump supporters and they're all very excited and they don't really understand all the nuances. They're just in their bubble.
Well, see, a lot of what they're upset about too is kind of what you didn't do it intentionally with malice, but when you said living in the city and more educated, like I said earlier, you can get completely educated with the internet, and the internet reaches out to the smaller towns. What a lot of those people get upset about, and what the alt-right was before the election, what it started out to be before it got turned into the term. I'm not saying the actual body that it is now, but the term was kind of used for something else, because Milo Yiannopoulos could have been considered himself alt-right. Now, here's a gay man who primarily sleeps with black men, so you know he's not racist and he's not homophobic. His reasoning and what he called the alt-right was younger people, because he's 28, so he's closer to your, because you're like 27, 28, right? It was a lot of people who were younger who might be out in the city or, you know, might live in the rural suburbs in the sticks, who might be a little old-fashioned just so far in the way they were raised up, but they're not necessarily not willing to be open. And then when they say something, to be like, oh, well, if you were more educated, or they get kind of get put down when they say a mistake instead of just going, because this happens to me being older. If I say something that's not PC, and I'm not saying that you do this, but if I, there's some people that'll be like, oh, hey, dude, like, you know, kind of don't say that. We say, oh, all right, cool, no problem. And then there are people that'll jump all over you. And the jumping all over for any little mistake is what I think started to really turn a lot of people, because they're just
like,
no.
It was this popular rallying cry that is, well, very, very, it's very ironic. The people who are using it are also the same people who get freaked out of if you don't say, like, you know, One Nation Under God during the pledge, or, you know, are
some
the same
of them.
People.
Well, I'm talking
okay,
about percentage-wise, it's a smaller group.
The education thing is that there are a lot of correlations. There's a lot of statistics to show you that you are you're more likely to vote Democratic and have voted for Clinton if you have a college degree or above. So these are just, it's just what it is. No,
I mean, necessarily count a college degree as guaranteeing education.
I'm telling you that that is the correlation, and that is a statistic that if you have a college degree, you're more
okay.
likely to vote Democratic. And that has been the case since like the 60s. So,
yeah,
and
but
I'm telling
having
you that
a college degree just doesn't mean, you know, that's what I'm saying. That doesn't mean you're educated.
You're more likely to check your sources. You're more likely to understand maybe other factors. Or, okay, so I forget the point I was trying to make, but I'm just saying I'm not apologetic about the fact that there are correlations between education and
right.
the way that you vote. And so the issue was is that it was a rallying cry to people who don't, in my opinion, don't understand how hard it is to make these policies for progress as it is to just dismantle them and try to regress, because there's a huge regressive statement behind the alt-right. They want to go back, go back, go back. Well, go back to what? Make America great again. So that's a regressive movement. You have things like, gay rights and women's rights and these kind of things that have been slow gained progress. And then what is their first thing that they want to do? They want to repeal, healthcare access because they think that it's giving too much money towards abortion or whatever arbitrary thing that they're upset about. But it really kind of gets back to a women's right issue when you get down to it. So they want to, you know, go back, and they want to, you know, dismantle a lot of this progress.
I don't know if they're doing that to attack women. I don't think that they're considering them at all in it. I think that there's no consideration to be like, hey,
well, the Planned
this may be...
stuff for sure. No, absolutely.
Right. I don't think they're doing it. Okay,
well,
that's
no,
something
no,
outside.
Access,
I'm
no,
sorry
but,
if the mics are picking that up. That was weird.
Well, they keep calling it Obamacare, but it's the Affordable Care Act, and then they don't even know what it is. So that's real funny that they don't even know what it is that they're fighting if they don't know the difference between the Affordable Care Act
and they're
gonna what
fight
the Republicans
about that for years.
Came up with, because it's the same thing. They don't understand, oh, that this is what we've been calling Obamacare for years. They relabeled it. So I would say that the education lacking definitely hurts there. Did you know that the Affordable Care Act and Obamacare were the same thing?
Yes.
Yes, you did.
Obamacare was what I consider more the quote-unquote slang term for it.
Right, but so we know that, and maybe we have like a certain level of education that might be lacking in some areas.
Barely
where,
graduated high school.
Okay, but you still...
I mean, I'm telling you the truth. Okay. I just got to tell you earlier how I failed, almost failed two classes, was failing
right.
another one. Like,
right, but I mean, okay, so I mean, like, you are more an exception then because
I'm just saying,
you
cause
do
I
your own
up.
Research and whatnot, but I'm just saying that there are a lot of people who might not do the research and might not question these things and accept them at face value.
And you might be right, but again, the point I'm trying to make is that the percentage of us... I'm saying the percentage of us that do, because I'm not like an outlier. Like, I'm not the one in 1 billion. Like, there's a lot of people like me. Almost all my friends are similar. in that in the aspect where we'll look into it. And I just think that this year, more than ever, like, we stood up to look at it, to voice our opinion, and then it was completely fucking ignored. So we're just, it, again, it was just kind of like that slumped shoulders, like, yeah, we finally, yeah, wait, you're just going to ignore us? Well, fuck it then. Why
so,
bother?
Well, and
just,
so that resentment, that resentment is what Republicans have been feeling for a long time. So people who feel that the administration in power right now isn't representing them, and there was a lot of obstructionism going on, and, you know, it was a rough 8 years, and they didn't see the progress that they wanted. So now this is just a huge backlash is what we're seeing. And a lot of it, I would say, does hinge on the fact that the information isn't there. If they're lashing out at something that they don't fully understand, then there's definitely some issue.
What was great, because every time I get into a discussion with a hardcore Republican, it always goes to the same thing. Because, like, I asked this lady, because you're talking about the progress that they didn't get to see, the progress that they made, or that they wanted to see made.
Well, I don't know what the progress message, I mean, other than the economy, which, you know, the figures are definitely showing that there is a lot of jobs created and the recession has gotten much better.
Oh, but what they're, and then they'll cry about how, and this is what I was actually going to lead into, because a lot of them will cry about how that's not including people who aren't, like, once you stop looking, you don't count, and blah, 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 blah.
And that's so they exist in a world where it's like, I see a lot of poverty, and that's what one of their biggest arguments is. And, like, in the city, we might not see it the same way.
Well,
they're in their bubble.
I'm always told, though, by these starch Republicans, and the ones that I talk to are ones that, you know, have, you know, master's degrees and, you know, doctorates and, you know, have a husband that makes six figures a year and all this bullshit.
Oh, so they're the hands-off my money kind of Republican. That's a different type.
Which is, and I always hear it's that, I'm sick of the money that I work going to people that don't even want to work. And I'm like, okay, where the fuck is the line for the people that don't want to work to get this money, Jack? Because I don't want to fucking work, and nobody has once handed me a dollar.
Right.
Like, you know, I tried so hard to get unemployment. Couldn't get it. I got food stamps when I had no job whatsoever. But when I actually, you know, had a job and I was like, hey, I just need a little bit of help, they gave me like a dollar. So, like, I don't know where all this free money is flowing from. I've tried to get it when I needed it, not just to be lazy, but when I actually needed it.
And programs like that are a drop in the bucket compared to, like, defense spending, for instance. Mm-hmm. But in these things that they show, like, if you give $10 to a family or to a person in need, it shows that it gives back to the economy. And this is something that pays for itself in terms of the people usually tend to recover. So, you know, you help a person out when they're in need and they tend to recover and they become stronger members of the community. But that's not something that a person like that thinks. They don't think, oh, if I help this person out through a rough time, because a lot of people have stories of that. I've been on food stamps before. There's a lot of, you know, stories of a young parent or what have you, and then they end up owning their own business. So they're not thinking about that. They're thinking of hands off my money, because I like to think of them as the temporarily, and I've heard this term before, temporarily disenfranchised millionaire. Have you ever heard that? Where people see themselves as, well, I'm going to be a millionaire someday, so hands off my money. Or maybe they have a little bit of money now, and they're seeing as, like, you know, these people are taking from me. You know, this person who needs food stamp benefits or living in Section 8 housing is taking from me in some way, and I pay my taxes, and, you know, that's how they see it, instead of, oh, well, it sure is bullshit that GE can just give some kickbacks and then doesn't even pay taxes for a whole year.
Well, that's why,
you know,
they don't
see the massive amount of disparity between the wealth and, like, how we're just fighting about a tiny amount of, like, scraps, like 15% of the entire GDP is what we're fighting over, and it's not the problem. That's what Bernie went after, and I get that.
Well, that's why they had the saying, and it's probably going to change now to, like, 35 or 40, but they used to say, if you're under 30 and not a Democrat, you don't have a heart. If you're over 30 and not a Republican, you don't have a brain. And they used to say it because back in the day, once you were around 30, that's when you started having, oh, now you own a home. Now you and your wife own two cars, and you're joint filing for your two kids at the, you know, because that's when that saying came about, like, that was the life. It was still, you know, very Leave It to Beaver. You know, so when you're filing like that, all of a sudden you're like, oh, wait, how much fucking money is going here? When you're in your 20s, you don't fucking notice that you just lost, you know, $20 to income taxes. You know, you're like, whatever, I got my check. I'm going to the fucking bar.
Yeah, and you still have, like, all this ideology of like, oh, well, yeah, you want to help the world.
And then all of a sudden, when you actually see it coming out, when you realize how much is coming out, you're like, dude, fuck the world. I need help.
You get resentful.
I'm struggling.
Yeah.
What am I? Mm-hmm. Who's help? And that's, you know, and it's going to change to 35. It's going to change to 40. The longer we go on, people, you know, are not growing up, quote unquote, growing up till much later in life compared to what they used to be.
Yeah.
You turned 18, guys went to the army, came back 4 or 6 years later, got a job in a factory, worked there till they were fucking 55. They got a gold watch and a pension.
Away. And yeah, well, that's some of the things that Trump is promising to bring back. And it's like that automation is getting rid of that, but it's this idea that he's selling people. So we'll see what happens. But
I mean, if he made companies behave like they used to, it would almost fucking be worth it, but he won't because he's the owner of a big company.
Well, people were doing pretty well when unions were strong too, in the auto industry. But I've listened to the argument that auto unions went overboard and pushed the manufacturers to, you know, go overseas and undercut it. So yeah, it's interesting. You know, you can't have the total deregulation that they're pushing for now because Upton Sinclair covered it in The Jungle, and it's terrible.
It was everybody got greedy all at once.
Right, exactly.
Because there's a bunch of prosperity happening.
And they tap into the awaiting millionaires. So they say deregulation is good. Deregulation is good for your business. But really it's not, because it's taking away what their customers would be, money from them, and it's just siphoning everything to the top and then putting it in like foreign markets. So,
well, it depends on what type of deregulation you're talking about.
Well,
because deregulation of utility companies is actually something that would be good for most states.
Business practices overall. They always want there to be a deregulation. They want to pay lower and lower taxes, for instance. They want
to be able to hide their monies overseas.
Minimum wage, because if the minimum wage increase is really just to keep up with inflation. You know, things like that. Which
there's cost of living expenses. Like, people used to be able to, and I know it's a meme, and I know it's been said, and blah 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 blah. People used to be with a solid 9-to-5 city job, could buy a house, afford to take 2 vacations a year. The wife didn't have to work; all the bills were paid. You know, if little Susie needed fucking braces, yeah, shit got tight for a little while, but little Susie got her braces. And nowadays, to do that, like, you couldn't have it. You couldn't have somebody with a city job unless they were a high-ranking official or on the take for, you know, from the fucking mob or something. I would gladly, if there's any mobster or Illuminati or whoever,
I will
sell out to the highest bidder in a fucking heartbeat. I got no scruples. I am sick of being poor.
We just don't have access to it anymore because our middle class is just not strong. You know, we don't have the type of economy that we did in the 90s or the 80s.
I don't know if trickle down.
Yeah, that sure worked out a whole lot.
Well, I would like to think that regardless of some of the other things that he put into place, including the war on drugs and including fucking privatizations of the prison system, that there was a part of Reagan. Yeah, that was Reagan's, right? Yeah. That really thought that trickle down would work. He thought his rich friends would still get richer, but he thought, like, they'll still leak enough money down to make every, and
well,
the,
I mean, it works.
The rich friends were like, nope.
It works in the sense that the CEOs got bigger salaries.
Right.
That's the correlation that they saw, was that, oh, so more money goes to them. Oh, great.
It's just somewhere along the line, like, they started, like, the people that, somewhere along the line, people started noticing, hey, we're hardly getting enough trickle. We need to cut our trickle down to
so
the lower.
This is where this...
it has to open up at the top. The top has to trickle more to the middle down.
Well, the millionaire complex that we're seeing people have, like these Republicans, like your friends that you described, they're definitely sold on this idea that, you know, all of these things are going to be good for their future business. And instead of fighting where the money actually is, as if it's like this big pinata that we all should attack, they're going after each other. They're going after us, like the rest of us who are at this bottom rung. So, and that's another great way to keep us controlled. You have us just fighting each other instead of the real, you know, the people who popped our housing bubble, the people who, you know, played fast and loose with stocks and...
Well, a lot
you know,
of people with
tanked us all economically. No, nobody's going after them. Nobody's going after Wall Street. We're all attacking Joe down there because I don't really approve his lifestyle, and he's got food stamps.
That's because a good way to get us to distract away from the money that was taken is to tell us, look, that money's gone, but there's money coming. there's so much money coming, but you're losing it because he's doing this. So you got to stop him from doing that if you want. And we're all betting
but
on the future.
So
that's what
little money. And that's the funny thing is that.
But it's credit. Credit cards. We all have credit cards for life. Like now, I'm talking like metaphorical credit cards for life, where we're all waiting for the future. So we're all just we're ringing up everything we can right now, just trying to get to the fucking future. Might not be a future no more. Might not be a future.
Not as we know it.
No, I'm terrified. I'm excited. I'm moving up north. I'm going to be by the goddamn forest in case I have to hit my go bag and go. Becca, draw something out the bowl. Take a hiss from the bowl. Bowl hits. We got serious.
Real serious.
Let's get silly.
Let's get stupid.
Let's get it started.
Drunk confessions.
Oh Lord. Yeah, that's you. All right. What do you mean drunk confessions?
So I was talking to my boyfriend's dad the other day. We were over visiting, and he was saying that he was reliving his golden days and telling me about it, telling me that when he got really drunk, he remembered just apologizing a lot. And I was just thinking about that. So, you know, you have your apologetic drunks, I think, and I'm definitely one of those. So I was connected. I was like, yep, I'm totally an apologetic drunk. I go too far. One too many drinks, and the whole world is terrible, and I'm so sorry that I did it all. And then you have your happy drunks.
I was either a happy drunk or a super fucking aggressive drunk.
The aggressive drunk. That's right. That's another category.
Super aggro. Like, whatever it was. Like,
or your horny drunks, those two.
It was just whatever. I wasn't like, grabbing chicks that I didn't know and shit, but like, you know, if I wanted to do something, like I wasn't gonna like take my time and like, ooh, hopefully she noticed me. I was just gonna walk and be like, hey, what's going on? How you doing? No, not that aggressive. Peel it back a little bit. Like I just, there wasn't like a lot of like second guessing. It was just fucking go.
But and then you would fight somebody.
Yeah, or I'd fight somebody. Like even if I wanted my friends to play, like, hey man, let's go shoot some pool. They'd be like, I'd be like, come on, let's fucking go. And like, let's go. Just like, all right, bro, fucking we'll go. Chill out, man. Oh, Jesus Christ, I almost died. Or I was just super happy. I used to get confessions from people. I never confessed too much.
No?
Yeah, it was weird. I think I've only had one drunken breakdown. I was
only
like 18.
One? Oh,
yeah.
That's not so bad.
Yeah, I like left my house with a bunch of people in it and went and destroyed like a golf course. And then came back with, like, the flag for the ninth hole. I don't know why.
You're just carrying it, like, back
to
your house.
Yeah, I was only a couple blocks away from a golf course.
I just like to think that, like, your neighbor was outside, you know, walking her dog, and she sees you, and she's just like, I knew that boy was trouble.
18-year-old fucking James carrying the fucking ninth flag hole.
Yeah.
And it wasn't even
drunk.
Yeah, it wasn't a good neighborhood or a good golf course, so they probably had not, you know, it wasn't, like, a shock for them to see that. Like, just, oh.
It was a putt-putt golf course.
No, it was regular golf.
Oh, okay.
I would never steal from putt-putt. That's
wrong.
You can't steal from the kids, man. You can't steal from the kids. Are you still? All right, so what kind of drunk were you? Are you? You still drink, right?
I'm a sad, talk too much drunk, so I don't,
that's
I
it?
Don't do that. Yeah, no.
What's the worst thing you've ever confessed?
I probably like... Probably just the worst stuff ever, but no.
It's all right. There's only two people listening.
All right, so both of you. Yeah, no. So I hear about it the next day. I don't remember too much of it, but my poor boyfriend had to fish me out of our pool at the condo place because I just kept trying to run in there, and I was screaming something about the patriarchy, he tells me. So, you know, that's what happens to me. So I haven't been drunk since.
Oh wow!
It's not a good story. I don't know why I put it in the bucket. I mean, I didn't cue
it
up. It led to this. I just didn't think it through. It's a bad.
So night. So you just get like all your super crazy liberal just comes out.
Yeah, my conspiracy theories and
conspiracy,
shit.
The patriarchy.
Yeah, yeah. Apparently, I just kept like screaming about that, and then just like Uncle Tom, motherfuckers, all these bitches, and then just like running back into the pool. And he kept trying to get me out. And then when he would get me calmed down enough, and like, you know, it's okay, you know, not all men are scum, or you know, whatever it is that he had to tell me. I'm just joking, dude. I'm just joking. No, whatever it is they had to tell me to get out of the pool. He said it was like Groundhog Day because I would just go, no, you know what? Fuck that. And I just run back in. And I think it was just in my underwear.
Why didn't he just start tackling as soon as you, like, you know what? Just, no, we're not doing this again, bitch.
Because he's very patient. It took about 5 tries, he said.
Nah.
Yeah,
on the second one, you're getting tied up.
Yeah.
I'm fucking doing this all night.
And I do remember a neighbor going out to his balcony because it faces, like, the pool's in the middle and all the different buildings are facing the pool. And he came out to his balcony and was like, oh, this is romantic. Because it was like 1 a.m., 1:30 a.m., something. And he's like, oh, let me sing you a song. When the moon hits you. And he's going into it. And I'm just like, what?
And he's like doing this?
You know, he's just by himself, just like smoking a cigarette, making fun of us. And I'm just in there, swimming around, screaming about, whatever it is. And CJ's just like, no, this is not romantic. This is terrible. She's puking in the pool. Oh, my God. So. I think I puked outside of the pool, though.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, that was bad.
That's horrible.
I know. I'm not proud of it at all. It's
Me
at my worst, everyone. So I don't drink. I don't drink that much.
You know what I'm very, very proud of? That's incredibly surprising. Because I have been completely blackout drunk, more times than I can remember. God damn it. That's so bad. But I've been blackout drunk.
No wonder you can't remember it. But yeah. Yeah, of course.
And I've never puked, pissed, or shit in an inappropriate place. I've always made it outside or to like a bathroom or some bushes or something. I've never puked I've never puked in a car.
In a car once. I felt pretty bad about it. My friend, he had an Eclipse. It was like an older one, but it had the turbo on it. So he's just driving back and watch this. And I'm just like, you made me drink Fireball shots. And it went over his back seat somewhere. And he was nice about it. And I kept apologizing. But I usually I'm pretty good about hitting that toilet or outside or what have you.
I might have never spoken to you again. I've never had anybody puke inside of my car. I did not know what I would do. I would not be happy.
I'm surrounded by very patient people. I need to be, apparently.
Yeah, maybe I am too, because a lot of my friends stopped hanging out with me when I stopped drinking. Like, apparently, they like me as a train wreck.
Makes them feel better, you know?
Which, I mean, I could see it being kind of fun. Did it just get in your mouth?
Yeah.
We're talking about the bowl, people. Let's keep it clean. My Mom's Favorite Podcast is a family-friendly show. So, speaking of family-friendly, no, I'm just kidding. Speaking of shows.
Bring the kids in.
Oh, God, no. Speaking of shows, what is your Netflix pearl?
Oh, Netflix.
Yeah, well, it doesn't necessarily have, but your movie or your TV show that people might not know about that should be watching. Or did we go over it already?
Yeah, well, we didn't hit the other one I want to talk about. People of Earth is a real good show. I think that one's on TBS, but you can find it. You can find it streaming, I believe. And that's a good one. It's another high concept show about this town where there's a whole bunch of alien abductions.
Okay.
But it's really well done. It has a lot of humor to it. And it's kind of, it's not like a serious alien show at all. So I like it. I like it. Or Man-Seeking Woman. Women in plural.
I mean, it costs a little extra.
Have you heard of that one? Man-Seeking Woman.
I've heard of it. Is that with the, no, it's not. Yeah, it's with Jay Baruchel.
Tall,
skinny, big nose.
And freaking Eric Andre.
Yeah,
he's on that one, but as like the best friend character. And it's a weird show. It's surreal. So it's like dating, but there's people with like monster makeup sometimes, and it's very abstracted and played straight at the same time. It's a fun show.
I'll have to check it out. Yeah, because I remember seeing something where like he ended up talking to a puppet. And then he shook his head and was like the person or something. I was like, oh.
Yeah.
And I like Jay. I like him in every movie I've seen him in, I believe. Seen him in quite a few.
Yeah, he's one of those just plays the same character just perfectly. Yeah.
I really liked him in This Is the End. I liked him in, he was one of the few bright spots of Tropic Thunder, which I thought overall was just a flaming pile of dog shit.
Yeah, I don't hear good things about that.
Tom Cruise was amazing in it. And you had no idea it was him. Like, it kind of looks like him, but he plays, like, you know, this character less, where he's got, like, you know, he's a bigger guy. He's got a hairy chest pouring out of an open shirt. Like, he's got the horseshoe of hair. But
he can play, like, anything. I remember him in Interview with a Vampire.
That was,
and when I think about that movie, I have to, who was it? Who was Lestat? Oh, my God, it was Tom Cruise. Like, somebody, I just had this conversation with somebody the other day, and they reminded me, and I was like, God, I can't ever remember that. And I remember that I read an article from the writer of the novel saying that Tom Cruise would be terrible in it, but it ended up being a very good role for him. So he's a weird dude. You just adapt.
He's a Scientologist, man.
He's, who knows what's going on?
That's a crazy Tom people, Cruise man. Brain. That's a crazy people right there. I'm glad I never got hooked up with that. Can't wait to get to Wisconsin where none of them fuckers are. Just kidding, any Scientologists listening. They're very powerful.
Maybe there's some Mormons up there, you know? I
went
chill.
To a Mormon church once.
Oh, okay.
It was super fucking weird because I had grown up in Wisconsin, half black, and usually when I met older white people, they weren't super excited about it. They were just kind of like, hey, how you doing?
Why are you here?
Yeah, might get a handshake. Uh-huh. And I went to church with my friend Franny, and she was Mormon. I think she might still be.
Of course she was. Franny? Yeah.
Well, she was, like, converting. But...
Were you like, you can turn back. There's still time.
I didn't know. She was just like, you should go with me. And I was like, whatever. Fucking fine. I was, like, 16. And I went there, and the first person I meet, he's, like, this older white guy. And I go to stick out my hand to shake his hand. He's just like, hey, buddy. And he just, like, steps in and gives me this big old hug. And I'm like, what the fuck? And, like, everybody was hugging me, and I just wasn't used to that. And I'm like, I had no idea what the fuck was going on. There's so much church. We had to take, like, a break and then do more church. I was like, the fuck? Church has fucking intermission?
See, I remember, church is being filled with, like, just people want to hug you and touch you, and they're so excited, but, like, their eyes are glassed over. You know, and I'm just trying to get to where the donuts are.
I went to, when I went through my born-again Christian phase, I went to a different church, and it was all right for a while until I guess I got good at the church.
Yeah, good at church?
Yeah, once I'd been going for a while, and they started having me become a youth leader and teaching the children's church every couple of Sundays, and yeah, I was fucking another group leader, and so then I started kind of seeing behind some of the curtains, and I was like, oh, this isn't. These people aren't what they were advertised as. This is, I'm returning this to the store. Mm. This is not what I thought it was going to be. So that's why I don't do that shit anymore.
Sounds like my story with improv.
Yeah, got to improv. Like, nah, this isn't as fun. No, I'm out.
No, these people actually.
Yeah. Well, that's unfortunate. But so people of Earth, where there's it's, and then what was the other one? I'm sorry.
The Good Place. I mentioned that one earlier.
You did.
Yeah. But yeah,
I don't know. Man Seeking Woman.
Man Seeking Woman is really good.
And that's like super surreal.
It's very surreal.
Jay Baruchel has like a big hand in that, doesn't he? Like creative wise.
I'm not exactly sure. But.
Well, either way, as long as it's working, I like.
It's a good show. I like the show. Yeah. I don't know all these like facts about it. I guess I'm a bad person. Like I enjoy the art piece, but I never like try to learn so much about it.
Hey, I learn a lot about Captain America movies, so I like those movies. I like the Marvel Universe, so don't judge me, and I won't judge you.
All right, sounds good. Deals. All right, deal.
All right. Can I do mine?
Oh, yeah, yeah. Oh, okay. Yeah.
Yeah. Jumping all over my movie time. My Netflix pearl is actually on Netflix. It's called Cheap Thrills.
Okay.
And I'm kind of doing a twofer because if you can find it, all right, here's the problem. It was on Netflix. I don't think it's on there anymore. But if you can find a movie called 13 Sins, if you can try to download it without getting a porno, congratulations.
Like, or a virus.
Yeah, it's really, because I tried doing that not thinking, and I was like, oh, this is never going to happen. But they're kind of similar. I'll go Cheap Thrills first because it's on there. It's Pat Healy, like, loses his job. Like, you see him leave his house in the morning and he has like an eviction notice. Like, he has like 2 months to get the money, and so like he's stressed and he goes to his job, and before he can ask for a raise he gets fired, and he goes out for a drink and his friend shows up, and it's Ethan Embry, and they start, you know, bullshitting, and then David Koechner shows up with Sarah Paxton as his wife, and it's like, it's her birthday, you know, have drinks with us. So like he buys this like $300 bottle. He's just dropping hundreds everywhere, and at one point he's like, hey, I'll give one of you guys $200 if you go up to that chick at the bar over there and get her mad enough to slap you. And they're like, well, what? So Ethan Embry goes and does it, and they give him $200. And it's like, oh, I'll give you $50 if you do this. So they, and it starts going where David Koechner and Sarah Paxton are really bored. They're a super rich couple, and they're bored. So for her birthday, they're finding two guys to just keep doing crazier and crazier dares with, and they'll give you money. Like, so, like, for $5,000, do this. For $25,000, do this. And it gets pretty fucking dark. But it was good. I really enjoyed it. It got really fucked up, I'm not going to lie. And to see David Koechner and kind of, like, he was still, like, being weird and goofy, but it was a serious role, if that makes sense to explain it like that.
Yeah, well, it's like seeing Robin Williams in a serious role. You know, yeah. It's like, oh, he's normally all goofy.
Yeah, like, it's so weird. And to see Sarah Pack, like, she has almost no lines, but just some of her actions and some of the things she does are some of the most important parts of the movie without even saying a word. So it's really, it is a good movie, I thought. And it's, I'm so high. I got on a roll. My thoughts got faster than my mouth.
Feel that.
And then 13 Sins, if you can find it. Remember, not the porno. This dude's in his car. He gets a phone call. It's like, oh, it's like circus music in the back. And it's like a game show host voice telling him, hey, you're really broke right now. If you kill that fly that's in your car, we'll put $175 in your bank account. And he's freaking out because he's like parked on like a deserted street. There's nobody around him, but there is a fly in his car. So he kills it. His phone beeps. He has $175 more in his bank account. And they're like, if you eat it, we'll give you $1,200. And again, it just progressively gets like more and more dark and insane. But the money amounts keep going up and up and up. I think at that one, they work their way up to like $5 billion. Like, but he's doing some insane shit. Like at one point, and it's all like this game show voice telling him to do it.
So you like the idea of people being paid to do dumb shit?
I like the idea of seeing what people
are. What are your boundaries?
Like, that's part of the reason that I got attracted. Okay, the second episode of Black Mirror, with where they're on the bikes.
Yeah,
and like,
I was just thinking about that, too.
Yeah, the dude's girlfriend.
But it's blackmail. Yeah.
Right, but it's, he railed against this life that he had, right? Or, like, he was working for. He saw the hypocrisy. He saw the bullshit. And he was protesting. He was going to kill himself against it. And they offered it to him. And he dropped his morals for what he had always hated, or for what he had come to hate. He dropped his morals to be part of it, and it didn't make him happy. But he did, you know what I'm saying? So, like, to see what people will do, like, some of the things in 13 Sins, more so than Cheap Thrills, because there's just, there's more of them. Because you're following one dude around rather than watching two battle it out, so there's just more time. So there's more stunts, and it gets more and more, and some of them are, like, almost appeasing for his soul. So, but then some of them, all right, there's one where he has to cut off a dude's arm. But the dude, like, his, he has a brother who's autistic, and the guys who whose arm he has to cut off used to pick on him in high school and, like, torture him because he was autistic. And he's sitting there with his arm, and he's like, you have to cut off my arm. That's my next challenge.
Ooh,
so he's sitting there screaming at him
and
to cut off.
Some amount of money?
Yeah.
See,
but, you know,
I
like,
don't play, like, I don't place a whole lot of value on money past a certain extent because it's like, well, what are you going to do with that much? I think a human arm is worth more like even $1 million, like a human arm, like having your arm is going to be worth a lot of money.
With 13, I think with that one, how do I say it without trying to spoil, like it wasn't a huge amount at that point, but the money that he had up made up to that point would all get wiped out. Like that was the thing with that movie. That's with 13 Sins. Yes, once you started, it was like you have to finish all the way through to the end.
Jumanji?
Kind of. Yeah. But like instead of, you know, finishing the game, I think you got like $5 million or $10 million or something. But you had to, so like at that point you're halfway through. So everything he's done up to that point would be wasted, and he had done some kind of weird shit.
So what's the lesson here? You know, like, just don't sell out.
Well,
it's
like,
not worth it.
Where are you willing to take your humanity? What is your humanity worth? What do you consider humanity? In that situation where the dude's sitting there telling you to cut off his arm, he used to fuck with your brother. He wants this. So why are you hesitating on cutting off his arm to get your fucking money? Is it because it's the money on the table? Like, would you do it if that, you know what I'm saying? Like,
yeah, well, what is your motivation? Is it revenge? Is it greed? Is it?
Yeah, are you going to allow them to all mix together? Are you going to take satisfaction in this? Mm-hmm. Like, are you going to do it begrudgingly? Like, I like to see, I mean, a lot of times it makes me sad with certain movies to see exactly where humanity will take people, or like where people will take their humanity and what yeah. they'll give it up for. But I like to see it in real life, just not to those extents. Like, have you ever seen the movie Would You Rather? You're familiar with the concept of the game?
Yeah, yeah.
Would You Rather?
Yeah, it's like a good fun party game when you're 13.
Yeah, well, it's like a horror movie, and it's like really extreme shit. And a couple of them are like, would you rather you have to take this pill, or you have to take like one of three pills, and like, you know, one of them's or two of them are poisoned. Or you can pass it off to somebody else where only one of them will be poisoned. Something like that. It's like, are you willing to risk your own life for a little bit or risk theirs for more? Like,
yeah, these are like classic ethical
yeah.
Like thought experiments and whatnot. You know, like the trolley. Yeah. Have you ever heard that?
That one I haven't.
Okay. It's there's a trolley and it's heading towards a group of people. Mm-hmm. You can change the track and make it go towards a smaller group of people. So it's like five people will die if it stays on its track, or two people will die. And then you start, you know, adding in all these other complications, like you know, the five people are all older people, and the two are kids, or
take those old fuckers
you know, or
out,
you
dude.
Know those, or the two people are your mom and dad, or you know your family or friends.
Yeah, I gotcha.
So these are the things that. It's like, well, what is the most good outcome? So I've definitely done a lot of these kind of like thought experiments and ethics, and I love that kind of stuff, and I like it in movies and in television and whatnot. But I guess the idea is that being passive, for some reason, we're more likely to be okay with it. If you're passive and don't let and don't move the trolley, a lot of us are like, well, you know, that's just that whatever will be, instead of, you know, being willing to move the track.
Right.
You know, and make the active decision, which would be pragmatism. So,
and that's what I'd like to see, who is able to, because of course, if you know, make the decision to move the track, if you make the decision, because you're putting more value on one person's life than another. If you make
a
decision like that.
What if it's a serial killer, you know?
Right. So
there's no way of knowing.
People will always resent feeling, you know, somebody that's feeling like they're trying to play God. If somebody's recognizing that, like, you're putting more value, if you're making those decisions, you're trying to play God, people always recognize that, I think.
Right. So the deontological approach yeah. would just be, well, go with the numbers.
But,
you know, greatest, maximize the good.
Yeah.
But when you
or
get
just
into
like,
hey,
what's
factors.
Happening is what's happening. Let what's happening happen. You know, and people pull their hands back like,
But then by not doing anything, by that passive, you know that more people died because you remain passive. So some people would argue that remaining passive is still an action, but
right.
we just tend to appease ourselves with that more readily. For instance, it's really hard to get eugenic type services in this country,
right.
Unless you're in Oregon, because we have the idea that it's somehow morally superior to watch somebody starve to death and take out their feeding tube as opposed to sticking them with a needle and making sure Nana goes night-night forever.
Right.
So, and then we're kind of screwing out the autonomy at that point, but we still say, well, it's better for us to just watch them die slowly than to intervene.
Well, it depends on personal wishes, too. Because my personal wish, if something were, you know, God forbid to happen where, you know, say I get in a car accident, if I'm in a coma, if the doctors are like, there's a chance, what is it, like after 3 years, if you're in a coma for more than 3 years, there's like no chance of coming out of
right.
it, not
well,
affected.
That's the Terri Schiavo thing. And her, right. She apparently, to her husband fought because he wanted to end her life because
it's
his understanding that's what her wishes were, but she didn't have that expressed.
It's quantity over quality.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah, that's
right.
What her parents wanted. And I think
well,
that's greedy as shit because that's
greedy.
You not because, letting go.
And your daughter's gone. Your daughter's yeah. gone. Her gray matter is just kind of jelly at this point. Like,
yeah.
she is gone. And then it's, you know, what was it? Jeb Bush stepped in, got involved. It's all a bunch of garbage. Like, sometimes pro-life is very much about pro-suffering. So,
Well, it's not even about the suffering. It's anti-suffering. Because when right. if you want that
That's
person...
That's how I feel.
You want that person to continue on and continue on, and you're not thinking about... Because they... If they're brain dead, you are literally... You're not. There's no point to it. There's not. They're not living a life. They're laying there in a bed, not aware of what's going on. Right. Unless the technology comes about, like the movie Repo Man, where you can stick a fucking prod to the side of their head and guarantee that they have dreams based on what they would want. And, you know, like they, so basically they live the best life possible for them in their mind. Then, yeah, okay, if we come up with that technology, sure, hook me up with that. But still, only give me like 5 years and then make it an easy transition. Don't keep
Freeze
me fucking.
Freeze the brain like Walt Disney's got.
Yeah.
You know, maybe in the future we'll be able to do something with this pile of garbage, but
I just,
you know, for now.
I just told my daughter that he's an anti-Semite, and she was shocked. Apparently the younger generation doesn't know how much he hated the Jews.
What? They don't know about Auschwitz?
Oh, that's
man.
Awful.
Oh, no,
that's
it is.
That's awful.
Oh, yeah.
And on that
that's
note.
That's what his employees call it, you know?
Ooh, that is. Hold on, let me see.
I've been trying to be more responsible with this. I'm
Proud
not very
you.
Good at it.
Okay, I'm not.
No, yep, we're right about that time.
All right.
All right, I've been trying to keep them roughly around 135 or so, or 130, and this is 135. So I think we had fun. I think Auschwitz is the best way to end a podcast. well, I probably won't have you on here again, but I'll definitely see you again. But thank you for coming on my Mom's Favorite Podcast one last time. Or
thanks for having me.
At least for now until, who knows, if we cross paths in the future, I'm sure, one day on the road.
Of course. We're both going to be a big deal.
Yeah, of course.
Of course.
I just want to not have a day job. I don't care beyond that. If I can just not have a day job and I can just focus on comedy, that'll make me so happy.
I'm talking about.
Speaking of which, Jeez. Tell us about your comedy, any shows, your social meds, what you got. Plug.
Well, the usual, Red Star at the Rock Bar, or Red Blue Comedy at the Red Star Rock Bar. Jumbled that one all up. That's the second of four Thursdays. We're gonna have one coming up here in a bit. That's in Seminole Heights. Other than that, I think I'm doing something on the 20th. I can't really plug that one too well because I don't know the details. I'm the worst. But I am available. For guest spots, anybody? Come on, I would love some. Anybody listening? All two of you, and I'm sure you're bookers.
Oh no!
Check me
oh,
out, no. BeccaChilds.com.
Is all your
X2X on Instagram?
Beck B E C X 2 X.
Oh, on Twitter, yeah.
On Twitter,
on Twitter, right. Yeah.
And then you're what? Not okay, Bex.
Yeah. On Instagram, yeah. I'm all over the place, but you know, check me out, BeccaChilds.com.
Social media presence is astonishing. As always, guys, let me do my plugs because I have dates coming up. March 9th, 10th, and 11th, so plenty of time for you guys to get babysitters. I'll be featuring for the very funny Lou Angel Wolf at Snappers Comedy Club in Palm Harbor. One show on Thursday, two on Friday, two on Saturday. Come check me out. Show some love. If you guys hit me up, I'll give you some free tickets because... Yeah, let's make me look like, you know, fairly popular before I leave. And then tonight, it's actually tomorrow night, but it'll be tonight for you guys because this comes out on Wednesday. I will be at the Tampa Improv at 8 o'clock. So if you're listening to this first thing, come out to the Tampa Improv, 8 o'clock. I'll be hosting for Johnny B from 102.5 The Bone, one of the hardest working comedians in Tampa. Very funny. Trying to get him on here. Fingers crossed. And... Catherine Maloney, who is just so filthy, so funny. I love her. She's a very sweet woman, very fun. So definitely come out. Experience that tomorrow night, tonight, Tampa Improv. As always, guys, James Bailey, haha. Twitter, Instabook?
I like that.
Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, James Bailey, haha. My mom's favorite podcast on Facebook. Like us, listen, laugh, and share. And as always, call your mama. She misses you. She worries. Just tied down. She likes to spread. Cheers.